We'll first review what we started before Pesach. That way we'll be fresh tonight. The last year we spoke about, I'm just trying to get into the rules of ribbis as they apply to loans, to keep it simple. We started with the halachas of loans. So just to talk about what's permitted to do, what's not permitted to do when you owe someone money because he lent you that money. So last time we spoke about what happens after you pay back the loan or before the loan, what you're allowed to do. But can you give a person a present after the loan has already been paid up? So we said that we hold like the Ramah held the, after you've paid back the loan, you could give the person a present as long as you don't say it's because I appreciation of the loan, because you didn't have use of your money, I want to give you a present. If you say that, you can't give the present even after the loan. That's called ribis meucheres. To avoid that, you just give them a present without saying it's for the loan, and that's okay. However, the Ramah said that if it's a big present, you're giving him a car, which is obvious that it's like in appreciation of the loan, so then it's like saying, I'm giving you this because of the loan. So in that case, the Ramah agrees to the Mechaber who says all presents are also, even if you don't say it, because it's clear that this big present is only given in appreciation of the loan. We had two kulas to avoid that. One is if it was a long time after the loan had been paid off. It's hard to define what it is, weeks, months, years, but certainly if it's a long time after the loan has been paid up, so in that case, there's no problem of giving a big present. The second was, even if it's close to the time after the loan, but it's something that you normally give, you're giving shalach manas, and you always give a big shalach manas to this person, so then we said, according to the Beis Yosef, it might not be so precious, but the Gedulei Truma said that it is okay to give it under this condition, since you do it all the time, you're rogel, you're habitually give this person this type of shalach manas, this type of present, so then that will be okay, even though it's a big present. Right, so this is talking after the loan. So the rules are, once again, if it's a small present, you can give it no matter what, because it's just a token present, as long as you don't say it's an appreciation of the loan. If it's a big present, so then you have to either make sure it's a certain amount of time after the loan, or it's something that you normally give, and that way you're covered in that respect. So tonight, I want to talk about, how about during the time that you still owe the money? But we know that part of ribis is that if you lend me $1,000, and I give you back $1,000 plus something else, so that's ribis. And it might not be ribis d'oraisa unless you made the agreement in the beginning that it should be like that, that I'm giving you this money on the condition you give me back that plus extra. But it's still ribis. So that means if I give you back $1,000 plus I give you shalom, like we learned the first week. Right? If I give you shalom, that's ribis devarim. So you gave me $1,000. I'm giving you back $1,000 or a bracha. Right, so that we said is aser as ribis devarim. So, what is it? What are the rules? Can I give a present? The person you borrowed money from became engaged, and you want to give him an engagement present, right? Because he lent you money, doesn't mean that you can't give him any presents anymore, right? What are the rules? Or a small thing after you already pay back, the rules are clear. But if it's a small present, you can do it as long as you don't say it's for the loan. If it's a long time afterwards, it's okay. If it's even if it's a big present, but if you're used to it, it's okay. How about while you still owe the money? Here it's going to be more stringent because you owe him the money. It's $1,000 you gave me. I'm giving you back $1,000 plus this amount during the time period of the loan. Is there any heter to give a person a present or to do a favor? Right? Not only a present. I can't say shalom to you if I don't normally say shalom to you. Can I do any other favor? Can I lend you my hammer? Any favors that you do with people? Can I say, oh, I'm sorry, I would do it, except you, I owe you money, and this is going to be ribbis, huh?
Except you loan me money.
All right, so that's what I get. You know, you get everyone else you lend your wet back to when the thing floods. I'm sorry, I can't help you now because it'll be ribbis, right? What are the rules? What are the rules that govern this Okay, so it starts with the Mishnah in Bamasiyah Samathalid on the days.
Right.
Hamavez Chaveiro. If someone lends money to his friend, Lo Yodr Bechatzei Rechina, you're not allowed to live in his house, in his courtyard for free. Lo Yiskam Yemen Vipachos, and even if you want to pay him, and you say, look, you did me a favor, you lent me money, I'll give you a discount, you can't do that either, Menesha Ribis, because that's Ribis. That's what the Mishnah says. Omer of Yossi by Menu Meyomer of Nachman. The Gemara says a halacha like this. Even though we have a halacha all over, you know, we have this halacha. This is after the fact. Someone lived in your house, you were went away, and someone came into your house and lived there without you knowing about it. And now you come back and you want to say, look, pay me rent. You can't force him to pay rent because, look, you weren't there anyway, and he didn't cost you any money. So it's midas adam to force him to pay. So even though we have that halacha, but if you had lent him money, and now you lived in his chatzir when he went away, then tzarich la'aros l'schar, you have to pay him rent because otherwise it'll be ribis, because you lent him the money and you lent him $1,000. He's going to pay you back $1,000 plus he gave you right to live in the house. So you're getting more than what you gave back. So that would be ribis. So fact the Gemara, that's obvious from the Mishnah. My kamashal and what's the chiddush? Tanina, our Mishnah already said, Hamavis chaveiro. If you lend someone money, lo yod b'chatzeiro chinam, you're not allowed to live there for nothing. You can't rent for less. Minneisha ribis, because that's ribis, right? The Mishnah said you can't live there for nothing, meaning you have to pay. And for the Gemara, even Masnisen, if it was only our Mishnah, how would it mean? I would have thought, Hani mi the chatzeiro chinam lo agra. That's only talking. The Mishnah is talking in a case where I normally rent out this property. The garbage of the maker, and you normally, you don't have a house, you always rent places, or you're out of town and you need a place to rent. So there you gained a monetary benefit from staying in my house, and I had a monetary loss from you staying there. But if it's my house, I don't rent out my house. I live there. When I go away, it's just vacant. The garbage of the maker, and you don't rent out houses, you just needed it because you had company coming, and you wouldn't have spent money to put them up somewhere else. You just used the house because it was available. I would say that there, the Mishnah's halacha doesn't apply and you don't have to pay. Kamash Malon, Rav Nachman says, no, even though it doesn't cost you anything, and even though he gained no monetary benefit from it, it's still usher to do with it because it looks like ribis, and it could be like ribis devarim. You're getting more than you paid, more than you lent. You're getting back, you're getting the use of that house, so you have to pay him for the use, otherwise you'll have a violation of the ribis halacha. So that's the first thing the Gemara says. The Gemara then has a ma'isa of Yosef Bar Chama. Yosef Bar Chama tokif adli d'inshi d'masi gulo zuzi. If he needed someone to help him work, he would go grab slaves, servants of people who owed him money. And he would do work with them. He wasn't doing dafka because they owed him money, it's just he needed people to help him. And he would take people, even the servants of other people that owed him money. So the Gemara goes to a whole shock of Italia, just skip to the end. Omele, Rava, his son, said to him, how are you allowed to do that? Hani milihechadullah masi bezuzi. The only time you can use someone's eved without his permission is if the Gemara says you're allowed to do it because people don't like their avodim to be idle. That's only talking where they don't owe you money. But Mar came into masik b'luzuzi. But you, since they owe you money, mefsi kibribis, it seems like ribis. Damar Rav Yosef bar Manu meyomer Rav Nachman, because we have this halacha that we just learned. Af v'shomer hadar v'chatzer chaver shlame daito. Even though if you live in someone's house without his knowledge, you don't have to pay him rent. If you lent him money and you're living there, you have to pay him rent, so it doesn't look like ribis. So Amalei Racham, Yosef Racham said back to him, Hadribi, I retract my halacha, I'll stop doing that. And so that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara is clearly saying that if you lend someone money and he's going to pay you back the full amount, you can't say, you can't receive any benefit from him over and beyond that payment that he's going to give you back, because that's going to be, if it's not real ribis, it's mashli ribis, it looks like ribis. That's what the Gemara is passing. We have two cases. You can't live in his house for free because you're getting that benefit, even though it doesn't cost him anything, and even though you don't get any benefit, because you're getting something more than he gave you. And number two, the second case was you can't use his eved. he can't use his eved, even though it doesn't cost him anything. In fact, he likes his eved being used, so it doesn't end up being idle. But it's wrong to use his eved because it looks like viris. Those are the two halachas we see from this Gemara. Now, Tosus has a kasha. Tosus asks, I don't have the kasha written down, but we'll see the answer. He asks, first of all, he says, we pass along this halacha. Vahashta kasha. The adam shemavel chaveiro. Someone lent his friend money. V'chi aser lasas la shum tavasha ba'olam. That means that it's now aser for him to do any favor in the world, right? That's Tosus kasha. Like, if I lent you money, the Gemara seems to be saying I can no longer do any favors for you. If I lent you money, you can no longer do any favors for me, because in besides getting my money back, I'm going to be getting that favor back. Is it true, Tosus is asking, he's bothered by that it doesn't make sense that I should not be able to do a favor to anyone that lent me money. So Tosus gives two answers to explain when it might be possible to get a favor from someone that you lent money to. We'll read the Tosus together. I numbered it because we're going to have three rules that we're going to learn tonight that make it that you need to comply with to give someone a present when they lent you money. So Tosus says first like this: Dafka b'mili farhesya va'afshal tuva. The two cases that we had are cases where it's very public. When you live in someone's house, you know, you get, when you wake up in the morning and you go out and you're going out someone else, everyone sees you're in that person's house. Or when you use someone's servant, that's also very public. Everyone knows that this servant that works for this person, is owned by that person, and now you're using him. That's a public favor. So that's asar hacha kuli hai. That's what we may also hear. Kigon lo de b'chatzeiro, to live in his yard, or luska pa'abdo, or to grab his evet. Aval hashel kelov osuso. But if you just want to lend him a shovel, a wetback, or your horse, that's mutter. Since he would have done it anyway. I put that one in there because Tosus is saying two conditions here. In his first answer, he's saying it has to be something you would normally lend him, plus it has to be something that's not so public. Like, you lend him a hammer, a keli, that's okay. But to do something public, that's what the Gemara said was asur. That's his first teretz. Og Yesh Lama, his second teretz. The Dafka Lodur.
Both conditions.
Right. This condition that you have to be used to, that you're only doing it, you would have done it anyway, that's going to apply to both.
It could be used to doing, but it's very public anyway.
Well, so that we'll talk about. But what the case that he's saying is permitted is when it's not public, if you would have done it anyway. You're not doing it because of the loan. You would have done it anyway. That's number one. Second teretz is, O Yesh Lamar, the Dafka Lod Shlomi Das Chaveiro Asir. Our Gemara is talking where you did it without telling him. He went away and you're just sitting in it, you're living in his yard. That's Asir V'chol Inyan. Afir V'chosid L'Kaim L'Av, even though he normally doesn't rent out that property, V'gav L'Dov L'Megar, and it's a person who normally doesn't rent it. The Kemesh L'Lob B'Shus Oseh, since he's doing it without permission, Nira Dal HaMalva Somech. It seems that he's relying on the Malvish of Ishvilo, Yisvilo Abalim, that the owners won't mind because I lent them money. Right, so that's what Tosus is saying. The second teretz is, it's only us over here because we're talking where you did it without asking. Why did you all of a sudden go to his house, live there without asking for him? Mistami, because look, I did him a favor, I lent him money, so now I could take advantage of it and say, look, I did him such a favor, I could live in his house even though I'm not paying him for it. I just go without asking. Right? I'm taking advantage of it. Because since I lent him money, it looks like I'm taking advantage of it because I lent him the money. That's what's giving me the right to go in and use his house. I'll die to low Oster, but if to ask someone for a favor, that's what says we never said. That was Oster. Unless it's something that he wouldn't do otherwise. Like we learned in our first year about saying hello to him, saying shalom. So pure can say, it's only osir if you normally wouldn't do it. Right, so Tosus says two terusim here. What type of favors are we saying are Aser and Ara Gemara. The first Torah says, it's Aser and Ara Gemara because these were public favors. Using someone's house, using someone's Eved, those are public favors, and it looks like Rebbe's like Maris Ayin. People seeing you use his Eved or his house will say, oh yeah, he lent him money and that's why he's using the house there. That makes it Mechli Karibis. So that's Tosu's first halacha, that what's Asur is to lend, to take a favor that's a public favor. And the second answer is, it's Asur, even if it's not a public favor, it's Asur to do a favor to do something without telling him. Right? To take the liberty, like you use his, it's raining, you take his umbrella quickly and then you come back. Normally you might be able to do that. You have to go to the halachah of Shalosh Lamidas. But over here, if he lent you money, it looks like you're doing it because I lent him money, so I can now take advantage of it. It's like giving him shalom when you don't normally do it. Then you're like giving him something you don't normally do. So that's the second time that's the second way that it will be asur. The Rush also says similar. Terutzim, he says a little bit different, but we won't go into that right now. We have the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk like both answers of the Chumrah. But the Gemara just said that this thing is awesome. We don't know why. Tosafot said two possibilities. The Shulchan Aruch says they're both awesome. We'll read the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Samach Siv Zayin. Tzarech ha-mal ve-lizohir me-lehonis me-alova shalomidaito. The mal has to be careful not to benefit the lova, not to take benefit from the lova without his knowledge. Kol zman shema osav biyado, as long as he still owes him the money. Afila b'davar shehoya osalo afim lo hoveyu. Even if it's something that he would have done anyway, because it looks like you're taking an advantage. That's Tosus's second terrace. Avim nenem imenem idaito, but if you do it with him knowing, can I borrow your keli? So then it's mutter. B'davar shehoya osalo afim lo hoveyu, as long as it's something he would have done normally. However, make sure you have to make sure it's not something that's public, like living in his yard and using his avada. So another way of putting it is, if you want to get benefit from someone during the time of the loan, you have to make sure that three conditions are met. The first condition has to be that he would do that favor if not for the loan. That's aleph, before you get anywhere. If he's doing it only because of the loan, that's already ribbis, or at least rabbanan. It has to be that he would do it, if not for the loan, he would do that favor anyway. The second rule, it has to be that he's willingly, knowingly doing that favor to you. Don't take liberties that you might normally take and under circumstances, but if he owes you money, don't take that liberty of having that favor done, because that's... it looks like you're taking because of the money that he owes you. That's why you're taking that liberty now. And the third rule is to make sure it's not something that's a public favor. And even though he gave it to you, and even though he normally would have done it, but if it's something that's public, like lending him your house or your eved, so that's usur, even though you met those other two conditions. So you need all these three conditions to make it permitted. And for the rest of the time, we'll just go through what these conditions are, the different questions that have been raised, and make it clear. We'll talk about practical cases. Okay, the first rule we said was you would have to do it. It has to be something that you would have normally done anyway. Now, the Tosus and the Rosh have a little bit of a different flavor on the way they say it. Tosus said it's something you would normally do, so you can do it now also. The Rosh and also Tosus in Bava Kamma, he adds a lashon. Heichan do yadua shekodem halva hayu olavim zeze. Everyone knows that these people were friends. Kol kach shoyim mashilin chasir zeleze. They know they were such good friends. They used to lend their yards to each other if imay yitzrichim, they were needed. If the friendship is known, that's when you could do it. So that's a shaila in the modern posting, whether you need them. You need that fact that everyone has to know that Reuben and Shimon are good friends, and that makes it permitted to do that favor. Or is it enough that, like, to lend a hammer, I'll lend a hammer to someone who's not my best friend. If you have a neighbor, someone that wants a hammer, I'll lend a hammer. Can I do that also, even though they don't know it's my best friend. The Bris Yehuda seems to make a machlokas out of it. This Nesiva Shalom, this other contemporary I have, says, it makes a lot of sense to me. He says, why make a machlokas out of the Rosh and Tosas? They're talking about different types of cases. Like, if you want to borrow my car, you better be a good friend of mine, because I don't just lend my car to anyone. So there, if you're such a good friend that I normally would lend my car to you, so then I can do it now also. But if it's something like a hammer, well, you don't have to be such a good friend to lend someone a hammer or to lend someone a rake or a garbage can. So well, you don't have to be such a good friend. So there, as if it's something you would do anyway, if not for the loan, so then you can continue to do it. You can, even though you even though you lent that person money, you can still ask him to, can I borrow your rake? I need it. I just, you know, my vacuum cleaner broke. Can I borrow your vacuum cleaner? You will do that even if it's not your best friend. If it's a big thing like a car, so that could be that it should be someone who everyone knows. These are good friends. They've been together a long time. They're close neighbors, and then it'll be mutter. So that's number one. It has to be something that you would normally do, depending on what type of item it is. Something that you'll do without any factor of the loan. Now the Shulchan Aruch Rav takes us one step further, a very important step further, and he says this is if this first condition is met, that it's something you would normally do, that works even if you lose money from it, even if it's something that costs you money, even a favor that costs the borrower money. He says, like the Poskim say, you can lend him a horse. Now the horse could get messed up and get ruined and, you know, hurt on the road, but you can still do that even though it might cost money. But if you would always normally lend this person your horse, you can continue to do it now also. The contemporary post can take that one step further. From the horse to a car isn't a big jump, and they say the same thing would be by a car. If you would have normally lent him that car, even though it's going to cost you gas, right? Even though I borrowed money from this person, I said, here, you can borrow my car, and I know that I'm going to have less gas back when he comes back. You know, we're not talking he's taking a whole trip to New York, but you know, he's borrowing it. It's going to, and the wear and tear, it's 10 cents a mile, whatever it costs. The car's now worth less money because of that mileage. That's okay, because it's something that I would normally do, and it's okay that it costs me money. Other posts can say a car is, you can't lend out a car, and I think because a lot of people don't lend out their cars, and it would seem that that might be something that's called Farhesia, that might run into that Farhesia problem. But this Torah's Ribbis says it's okay to lend out a car. This Mishpat HaRibbis, this other contemporary, takes it one step further, and he says, like Shalach Manas, not only the car that Memela, it becomes devalued or the gas gets up, but I can even send him Shalach Manas. Because if I send this person Shalach Manas every year, or even if I hadn't met him, but I would send him Shalach Manas now that I met him, you know, last year I wasn't in the neighborhood. Now I moved into the neighborhood, and I send Shalach Manas to my neighbors, so I can send it to him also, even though he happened to lend me money. Because I'm not sending it to him because he lent me money. I'm sending it to him because he's my neighbor. And then the proof is I'm sending it to all my neighbors. So this heter, you would do it. Even if there was no halva, helps Beit Shulchan Aruch Rav, I think it's from Hagos Mordechai, he gets a Hagos Asher, he gets that. Even if it costs the borrower money, but if it's something you would normally do, that's okay. But once again, we have to make sure we fulfill the other two conditions. It has to be that you know you're giving him that favor, and it can't be a public, a big, substantial favor that everyone hears about. Then you have the problem of Mechzik Ribbis. So that's the step, first step. If it's something you would normally do, and once again, that it's quiet, and it's something that everyone knows about, so you can continue to give him that favor, even though you borrowed money from him, you could continue to give that favor, even if it costs you money. After the loan, so there we said you could give him a present, even though you normally wouldn't give him a present, just giving a present. Now, as long as you don't say it's for the loan, you could, after the loan's paid up, that's not Ribbis Melcheres, unless it's a big present, but a small present, we said you could give him after the loan without this condition. But while the loan is still in progress, the only time you could give him this present is if it's something that you would normally give anyway. Shalach Manas you give every year, you can continue to give them every year, or you give them to all your neighbors, you can continue to give to your neighbors. That's rule number one. Okay, the second halacha we saw with the Teretz Tosfos was that it has to be medayta. You have to know. You can't do the favor behind his back. You can't take the liberty of doing that favor, even though you know he wouldn't mind lending you his garbage can. But you know, now you need it and he lent you money, you lent him money, you can't take his garbage can without asking. But that's what Tosfos said in the Rush. But you can't, even though it's a favor he will do to you normally, you would just ask him and say, sure, no problem. It's something that he will certainly do to you. But you, the lender, are not allowed to take the liberty of that favor without asking him first. That's what Tosfos said. Shulchan Aruch Rav says a big chiddush from this. He says that's true. This is true when the only thing you have going for you is that if you had asked him, he certainly would lend you the garbage can. But if you always take his garbage can without asking, well, that's the type of neighbors you are, that you always borrow the garbage can without asking, and now you lent him money, so that heter continues now. It's no worse off than when you did before. If you used to always take the garbage can without asking, or the rakes, the different things that the neighbors do sometimes, so the fact that you lent him money doesn't change it. That's the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskens that, and that seems to be a muskum, that this chumrah, that you can't do it without his knowledge, only applies if you've never done it without his knowledge before. But if you have done it without his knowledge before, you can continue to do it without his knowledge, even though you lent him that money. That's number one. Okay, so that's this rule of midaito. Right? Even though he said it has to be midaito, if you've always done it without him knowing, so you can continue to act that way. Now we come to the one that's maybe the little bit more complicated than the other one. That was, it can't be something that's public. If it's a public favor, that you can't do, even though he's giving it to you, and even though he would normally, it was something that you would do without, and it was not for the loan. Question is, what would happen if it's something that you normally do? We'll be fuzzy here, but there's a few different ways you can have something that you normally do. We could be talking about a case that we said until now, that, look, if he had asked me, I certainly would give him the hammer, lend him the hammer, because, you know, I do that to people. But, and that's not good enough to, if it's public, that you can't do, because we said, even though I normally would do it, but if it's a public thing, like I normally would lend him my eved or let him use my house, but since it's public, so I'm not allowed to do it because he owes me money, right? Because I owe him money, right? I can't do it now because it's public. But how about if it's a step further than that? Not that he certainly would do it if I asked him, but how about if it's something that I've always done? Or in a simpler case, suppose I'm living in the house now. Right? I'm living in someone's house. He's doing me a favor. He lets me stay in his house. I'm out of town, and I need to stay in his house for a certain amount of time. And then he asks me one day, can you lend me, I need some money, I need, you have any cash, I need $10 to go to the store, and you lent him $10. So now do you have to immediately get out of the house? Right? Because... Huh? Right? I lent him the money. Now that's the rules, right? I now... Malva, you the Balabas are the Lova, and I'm living in your house for free now. You didn't charge me, doing a favor, should be Yasser. So the Namuka Yosef says that if you were already living there, you certainly don't have to move out. And the post can take it one step further. At least they could do with Truma and Shulchan Aruch Rav, others. They say, if it's something that you've done before, every time you come to, you go to New York, you stay at that person's house, and he doesn't charge you, and now when you were there and he asked you for some cash to borrow some cash to go somewhere, you don't have to find somewhere else to sleep that night because you always do it all the time, even though it's for Hesia. But since you always do it, so that's, it's okay now also. The Gedulah Truma says possibly that way. The Beis Yosef seems to disagree, but the contemporary, once again, they argue about that too. The Shach seems to even be make go further. I think the we're talking about a Durabon and a Mastik Rivas. I think there's what to rely on to say in such a case you can, if you've actually done it before, not that you would do it, if you've actually done it before, you can continue to do it even though you now have lent him money.
What's the spark for public? I asked you that.
It looks like Grievous. It's Merci Grievous.
Somebody else did.
Right. When someone sees me living in that person's house, they say, hey, why is he staying in that house now? It must be because I lent him money, and that's why he's letting me stay here. It's like
everybody
a Marizayan.
Huh? Everybody knows about the loan?
Right, so that's what we'll talk about, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. But it looks like Marizayan. That's what the Chumrah is. Now, just to define what's called for Hesi a little bit, the Shach brings from the Marshal. You know, we have the two cases in the Gemara, the case of using someone's Eved, using someone's house. The Shach says another case from the Marshal that they still have that certain places where you, when there's an Aliyah, they auction them off. Even in the middle of the week, you know, auction off by Cohen, Shani, Shalishi. And so I can't buy an Aliyah for the person that lent me money, because everyone sees it. Look, he bought a lent. Why is he buying this person an Aliyah? If it's a $3 Aliyah during the week, I don't know if that's a big problem. But you're talking, it's a nice Aliyah that costs money. So why is he buying an Aliyah? Must be because he lent him money, and that's why he bought him an Aliyah. Right? He feels like he owes it. So that's another case where the poskim say it's aser. The Mishpat Ribbis, once again, the contemporary says it's okay to lend him your car, because people don't know what your car looks like. But if you lend him your truck that says, you know, Kaplan Glass on it, so then that's something that's public, right? That's something you can't do, because why all of a sudden are you lending? Everyone sees you driving Kaplan Glass because Kaplan lent you money. So that's something that will be awesome. You know, it says, you know, or I guess it has license plates with your name on it. You know, some people have these license plates with their names, right? So why are you driving the Hattery's car? Because, oh, it must be because you lent them money, right? So that's a contemporary case where they say that would be public and awesome. And that's why I think if you have like a real clunker car that everyone knows what your car looks like, right? Everyone knows that this is his car. Now, why is Reuven driving Shimon's car now? That could be that something for Hesia now. Because you have to weigh the cases. It has to be something that will there be Maris Ayin here? Yeah, there might be Maris Ayin because everyone knows that Reuven's doing something that's not usual. Just this last fact that everyone was asking, you know, it seemed the times of the postgame, everyone knew who lent whom money. There were Shtaros, and like we learned in the beginning of, you know, and the contemporaries, once again, the Bris Yehuda brings from the Bishem Yonatan Steif, says that if it was a loan that really people didn't know about, you know, I asked you to lend me money, and no one was there when I asked you to lend, I called you up, and no one knows, and you mailed me a check, and no one else was there, or you were in the house, I asked you to lend me $10. No one knows that you lent me that $10. So he says it makes a lot of sense to say that this halacha wouldn't apply, because the whole thing is Marazayin, it's only Marazayin, like you were saying, that if people know it's a loan, oh, you know, everyone knows that. How did he get the house? Yeah, because his friend lent him $10,000 to get the house. Everyone knows about that loan. That's when you have this problem for a Hesia. It's a Fiddush, they're saying, but it makes sense that the others toy with the idea, but he brings this Yonatan Steif that says that if people did not know about the loan, so then you don't have to worry about people knowing about the favor, because there's no Marazayin. Why is he doing the favor? Because he likes him. Now, the others say, though, if they start seeing him driving his car all around in his truck that says his name on it, so they say, why is he doing that? Oh, it must be that he lent the money, that he might find out. But that seems to be a possibility. So, summing up, we'll sum up in two directions. Summing up, to make it a favor that's permitted, how can you have a favor from someone who... how can you accept a favor from someone whom you lent money to? How can you accept that favor? You're taking $1,000 back plus that favor. So if you follow three conditions, you're okay. The first condition is it has to be a favor that he would have done even if there had been no loan, and you wouldn't have felt any compunctions of asking him for such a favor, to lend him a car, to take shalach manos, whatever, not a favor, you know, to take a present. Right, also what the borrower is allowed to give to the lender. Right, the borrower can give to the lender any favor or any present that he would do normally, as long as he knows what he's doing, right? It has to be the borrower giving it to the lender, not the lender taking the liberty without the borrower knowing. That's condition number two. And condition number three, there has to be something that's not public. If it's something that's public, so then even though he might have normally done it, and even though he knows about it, but you can't give him a big public favor. The cases we know from the Gemara are using his house without telling him, using his house even though you're telling him, using his Eved, and then giving an Aliyah, a Chash of Aliyah, and Shul, buying him, you know, Mafter Yonah, something like that. That would be something that's Aser. That's the way we learned it in that direction. The other way to do it, looking at it the cooler way, if you borrow money from someone, you can do anything, any favor, or give him any present that you have done in the past. The fact that you lent him money doesn't change anything. As long as you've done it in the past, you sent him Shalach Manos in the past, you sent him Bar Mitzvah presents for his children in the past, as long as you've done it in the past, you can continue to do it even though he lent you money, because first of all, that certainly fits the first condition. Number two, it works because even though I'm doing it without him knowing about it now, but I've done it without him knowing in the past, and even before I lent him the money, so I can continue to take that liberty even though I've lent him the money because I've done it in the past. That works there also, the way we saw from Shulchan Aruch Harav. And even for Hesiel, we said, according to many poskim, if it's a public favor that you've done in the past, he always borrows your truck with your name on it, he always lives in your house when he comes to New York, or he goes to Eretz Yisrael and borrows your apartment whenever he goes there. So even though now he lent you money, he can continue to take that favor because it's been done in the past. The chumras apply only in cases where he hasn't actually done it, where we would assume he would do it. So in that case we said he can't do it if it's something that's public, because it looks like ribbis, unless no one else knows about the loan. So once again, if it's something that you always do, and you've done exactly that favor, or something very close to it, you're in pretty safe territory to continue doing that favor, even though you have lent, even though you have borrowed money from that person. After the loan is paid off, like we said the last time, after the loan is already paid, so then you have the additional kulas of it has to, even if it's something you have never done, as long as it's a small present, it's not a big thing that would look like I'm publicly thanking you, exclusively thanking you, that would be a problem there. So the case that we've been talking about, like you borrowed the money and you made a lot of money with it, and you want to give all your employees a present because you had this big windfall profit, so you say, well, I'm not going to give it to that person to lend me the money that made it all possible because it'll be ribbis. You don't have to worry about that, because we know you're not giving in the present because he lent you the money. You're giving to all the people in the firm that are there. So even though you might not have paid him back yet, I think that would be a case where it's following all these rules, unless it's something that's very, very big, that's very far Hesia. But I think even that, it's clear that you're doing it because this is something you're giving a bonus to all the people in the firm. The fact that he lent you money, I don't think would make it awesome.